Well, happy Christmas to everybody. Who slept in this morning, didn't get up early, stayed in bed as long as they could? Well done. Okay. Who got up at a time that was a bit too early? Anybody? Yeah. Okay, right. Typical Christmas, yep. Right. Well, as we have a little think about the meaning of Christmas, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love for us, your great love, the greatest love of all in sending the Lord Jesus into the world for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, Christmas is. I need three people to help me dress up in a little kind of outfit. You won't get overly embarrassed. Just as three. I'm looking for volunteers. Is there one volunteer? Here we come. And there was a lady over there, the lady from the hand I come up as well. Now, I need someone who can wear a crown. You like crowns, do you? I think I'm right. Yes, thank you very much. You like crowns, do you? That doesn't surprise me if you like crowns. Yeah. I think it works if you just... Yeah, you go in that hat. Can you get... You probably don't have a head quite as big as mine. That's probably the problem there. That's right. Okay. And I need someone, maybe I might get Jelly to wear this. And then, I want you to pretend this wax from your hands. Put your hands up. The other hand. Okay, so you're going to stand in the middle here. Look at this. And then can you just turn around there? And we'll get Jelly to come right up here. Okay, perfect. Look at my helpers, they're doing a good job here. Now, I want to tell you that Christmas is, first and foremost, resting and going to the beach. Is that right? What do you think Jelly, her outfit tells us? Anybody want to tell me what's her outfit tell us? She likes those colours. They set up her eyes nicely, is that right? What do you think? Who do you think she's trying to be? Anybody want to tell me?
Abbott.
That's close. He's both a lifesaver and a bushfire volunteer. Someone from Baywatch, she's suggesting herself. In the Bible reading we had, it said, you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. This is a lifesaver, isn't it? Someone who's coming to save lives. And the Bible tells us that you and I needed saving. We needed saving. We needed someone who would come and help us. We'll call his name Jesus, and we're to rejoice because today in David's town, a Saviour has been born, who is Christ the Lord. What's your name?
Lucy.
What's happening to Lucy up here? Does anyone tell me what's happening to Lucy? She's being very patient, that's one thing. She's tied up. She's bound up. She's like a prisoner, isn't she? Who plays Monopoly? Anyone played Monopoly? Has anyone ever landed on that square in Monopoly? What's it mean? You're in jail? And what about if you get that card, that orange card? What does it do? Get out of jail free. So, in our second Bible reading, it said that God sent his son into the world just at the right time, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, to set us free, because you and I were kind of like prisoners. We were kind of in jail, and we need to be set free. Would you like to be set free? Oh. Big clap. We're about to get to your part. You ready? Now, I think most of us knew this part of the Christmas story, that we needed saving and we needed setting free But there's one more part of the Christmas story that's often not talked about. The third part of the Christmas story, Christmas is an adoption story. You've been, by becoming a Christian, you've been adopted into a special family. You've been adopted into the royal family, God's family. Now, Megan Markle's been adopted into the royal family, hasn't she? Okay?
Although they're not spending Christmas with the Queen
this year, apparently they're in North America this Christmas. With the other side of the family, you've got to do odds and evens with the relatives, haven't you? Got a chance to do that together?
But
if you marry into the royal family, you're part of the royal family, and when you become a Christian, the Bible tells us that you've been adopted into God's family. You're not just saved and set free,
you're adopted. And so here's another family that have worked on adoptions, the Jackman family. And that reading we have from Galatians said that you might receive adoption to sonship, because you are sons, and God sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, and the Spirit cries, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. Can you thank all our helpers on the front here?
Now let's see if we can get our props off. Now speaking as a former optometrist, make sure the glasses are okay. And wasn't it a worry that there was someone here who got to read their glasses?
Well, I'll fix it here downstairs.
Thank you very much. Do you want to clap our helpers again?
Okay, so Christmas is a rescue mission. We've been forgiven. It's a freedom mission. We've been set free. And it's an adoption mission. We're now part of the family. We're part of God's family. When you say the Lord's Prayer, you start by saying, Our Father. You're now part of the family. Jesus is your brother if you're a Christian person. So what we're going to think about now is, what is our response to this wonderful good news, particularly at Christmas time? Well, sometimes there's no room at the inn, isn't there? Sometimes our attitude to Jesus can be one of either indifference or opposition. I kind of think about the innkeeper sometimes, you know? The indifference. Jesus is knocking at the door, and he said, sorry, no room. My wife and I just booked tickets this morning to go to Harry Potter show down in Melbourne. My wife's very happy, okay? How would you feel if you were the first seven publishing houses who said no to the lady who wrote the Harry Potter books, okay? Who said, nah, I don't think that'll work, you know? And the publishing house that took her on for the Harry Potter books was actually on its last leg. Have you heard this story? They actually weren't in a very good way financially, and they sort of thought, let's give it a go, you know? Not a lot to lose left here. Boy, was that a good decision. But how would you like to be the kind of first six or seven publishing houses who said, no, that, we don't think those books are going to work? And it's like the innkeeper, isn't it? Jesus is knocking at your door, and you say, I'm sorry, there's no room. There's no room. You know? Or your response to Jesus might be open opposition. Like Herod. In our story, what we know about Herod, don't we? What he tried to do? He tried to get rid of Jesus, didn't he? He opposed Jesus outright. And there can be people even in the room today who fall into one of those two categories. Or you might be about to have lunch with someone who falls into one of those two categories, okay? And how do you work with that as a Christian person? How do you work with that as a Christian person? The opposition to Jesus can be very amusing at times
and a bit disappointing at times. A friend of mine who's a minister in the eastern suburbs was running a carols service in conjunction with the local primary school, actually. And a rather angry mother came up to the minister of the church at the carol service and said, "Are you Christians trying to get in on Christmas as well?" It's a true story. Are you Christians trying to get in on Christmas as well, are you?
Fact is stranger than fiction, okay? In America, the American bus company in Washington, D.C. wanted to put an ad on their... the local churches got together and wanted to put an ad on the local buses to promote Christmas. And they were told they weren't allowed to do it because it was not appropriate for public transport as it depicts a religious scene and therefore promotes religion. It was kind of written up in the Washington newspapers and they called it the Scrooge Metro. This is what the ad was going to look like. Do you find that ad overly offensive? It was just directing people to a website where you could actually find the times for local church services across Christmas. And a couple of years ago they got banned on the buses in Washington because it was too religious. How about this one? A Nebraska principal banned candy canes at his school celebrations for Christmas because the J stood for Jesus. I know I'm a bit slow. I actually never figured that out. Okay. And he also went on in this note he sent home to the parents saying, "And the red and white stripes are significant because the red stands for the blood of Christ and the white for the resurrection." Did you know that? I was thinking this principal sending the letter home had actually done a wonderful job of promoting Christmas, actually. And the examples continue. There was a little girl in California this year who was doing her Musica Steadford, and she wanted to play Joy to the World for her Musica Steadford. No one was actually singing. She was just playing the music. And it was suggested that it was inappropriate because it was too religious, and they suggested she play Jingle Bells instead. No one was actually singing the words. Can you believe this sort of stuff? The opposition to Christmas at times can be a bit crazy, really. But that's kind of the world we live in at the moment. Christmas is about relationships. Christmas is about getting to know God. And as we sing in joy to the world, let every heart prepare him room. Instead of no room at the inn, let every heart prepare him room and heaven and nature sing. But there's something even greater than us getting to know God. God has come to get to know us. That's the wonderful thing about Christmas, isn't it? And that was in our Bible reading today from Galatians. It said, formerly you did not know God. You were slaves. But now you know God, or rather are known by God. Isn't that wonderful? Christmas is about not just us getting to know God, but he got to know us. How good is that? That's the wonderful message of Christmas for all of us to take home with us today. Formerly you did not know God, you were slaves, but now you know God, or rather are known by God. God has rescued us, he's freed us, he's adopted us, we've been forgiven, we've been set free, we're now part of the family and we can cry, "Abba, Father." Even better, the Father cries for us. Christmas reminds us always that God made the first move, didn't he? In any relationship. Just if you're trying to restore a relationship, who's going to make the first move? Is there someone you're going to meet with for Christmas Day today who's a little bit tricky to relate to at times? As Christians, let's follow the example of the Lord Jesus and take the initiative in those relationships. Because that's what the Lord did with us. He took the initiative in relating to us. Let me just finish with a scene out of Narnia. Anybody here like the Narnia books or the movies? Put your hand up. Anybody? There's a few. I love this scene where the Christian author C.S. Lewis captures the idea of being known by God in the Narnia series. And you remember Aslan is the lion figure, the God figure in the story, I should say, the God figure. And Eustace says to Edmund, "Who is Aslan? Do you know him?" asked Eustace. "Well, he knows me. Well, he knows me." And the same is true for us today. Well, God knows you. Well, God knows you. It's wonderful that you know God, but well, he knows you. Let's bow to your prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your enormous love for us. That you've set us free. You've forgiven us. And you've brought us into your family. We know you, Lord. But more importantly, you know us. You made it personal. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.